down for?
Our reading for this morning. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Thank you, Mike. So good to see you this morning. Happy that you're here. I do know we have visitors with us today, and it's always a special privilege, a blessing to have visitors with us. We're glad you're here. We invite you to come back and to worship with us, fellowship with us. Let us get to know you better and vice versa. Let's talk about avoiding Satan's snares. So what is a snare? You know what a snare is. It's a trap. Someone has prepared a trap for you. Surely Satan would not try to trap you, would he? He wouldn't try to entrap you, would he? If you have any accurate understanding of the scriptures, you certainly know that Satan has laid snares out on the road, your life's journey that's ahead of you. As Mike just read for us in our scripture reading this morning from the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, the author very vividly portrays this. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which, what? So easily ensnares us. Easily ensnares us. Peter admonishes the brethren at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, Peter certainly understood Satan's intent, didn't he? He understood that nothing good dwells within the devil. He knew his greatest desire and his most ambitious mission is to destroy us. Folks, always has been, always will be. But just how does Satan attempt to accomplish that feat? This morning I would like for us to look at 4 points surrounding the snares of Satan, the obstacles that he certainly can place before us to provoke us to stumble, and the instruction God gives us to remain faithful. First, with regards to avoiding Satan's snares, and one of the ways that he attempts to cause us to stumble is to stray away from having a relationship with God. To drift away. You know, the author of Hebrews continues to talk about this. As a matter of fact, he addressed this in chapter 2, in verse 1. But before I look at that, you go back and you look in Hebrews in chapter 1, when the author says, God, who at various times and in various ways, he spoke in times past to the fathers of our prophets. In these last times, he has spoken through his Son, Jesus, though. And then the author goes on and he paints a picture for us. And the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is better. Look at every chapter. And he begins with, in chapter 1, Jesus is better than the angels. And there is focus not just upon Jesus, the man, but his message. As a matter of fact, look in Hebrews in chapter 2 at verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, in the King James Version, I like that rendition. It seems to be maybe a little bit more along the context. We let them slip away. And the emphasis is on the message of God. Whereas in the New King James Version, if you're looking at that and other versions, I think it captures the end result of when we let God's word slip away, church. We're next. You slip away. You drift. When we don't pay heed to what God has to say. The Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy. You remember that young evangelist in 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul instructs Timothy, be an example while you're young. Be an example to the believers in your conduct, in word, in love, spirit, and faith. You know, that's something that we always preach and teach and instruct our young people with regards to, isn't it? Be an example, a good example. But how are we to do that? Look at what Paul tells Timothy. He says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Did you catch that? Give yourself over to reading, exhortation, to the doctrine, the teachings that come through God's word. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you through prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Look at verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You know, there's a phrase that we use, and we encourage folks today to be cognizant of it. It's called situational awareness. You know what situational awareness is. It's not that we live in fear, but you're just always tuned in. You're always aware. Both antenna are up in the air. Now, I realize I might have a half antenna, but I try to use that half antenna, Keith, to the best of my ability. But we're always walking circumspectly. Paul uses that word, too, in his letters. Cautiously, you're aware of what's going on around you. But I'm going to tell you, situational awareness, church, also means self-awareness. You've got to keep yourself in check. You don't think so? Go back and look at when Paul was talking to the elders of Ephesus there at Miletus. Before he ever told them to take heed and to have oversight and watch the church, he told them to take heed and keep yourself in check. Keep yourself in check. You know, as Christians, we sometimes neglect the things that we ought to be doing. We ought to be reading our Bibles more. We ought to be praying more, worshiping more, serving more. And instead of doing those things that we ought to be doing, guess what happens to us? Friends, we begin to slip, slide away. We begin to drift. We drift away from God's word. We drift away from God, our relationship with God. And before you know it, well, we're looking at that board of who's who in between the foyer and the worship assembly, and we're looking at pictures and we're saying, who's this person? Who's this individual? Haven't seen them in a while. Well, sometimes just as we have today. We've got a lot of sick people. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you don't say you don't have anything to pray about, you've missed it. There's a lot of sick people we need to be praying for and who need our encouragement. But the truth of the matter is this. We can drift when we're not tuned in to God's Word. Do you remember your first Bible you ever got as a kid? Think back. I remember my very first Bible that I was given. And it was, and it still is, precious to me. We need to hold that dear and near to our hearts. Satan has put obstacles up that will affect us. He will gladly supply us with excuses to neglect the Word of God and to slowly drift downstream, and it leads to unfaithfulness. And you and I know what those obstacles look like. You and I know what those excuses sound like. I'm going to be very blunt with you. I want you to know that God is not concerned with your excuses. God is not concerned with your excuses. There is no excuse good enough that can gain God's favor with regards to you becoming unfaithful. Now that's a fact. Now you can take that to the bank. Friends, instead of making excuses, we should start giving reasons as to why we should be faithful unto God. That should be the church. Here's why I'm faithful unto the Lord. Here's why I do what I do. Instead of making excuses. Don't stray. Two, don't strut. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. You know, pride is never mentioned in the Scriptures as a positive thing. Never. We traditionally take advantage of the opportunity to serve the athletes, whether it be the football team sometimes or the basketball team. It's called Feed the Team. And many of you are very gracious in your support and your help with that. And this year's Feed the Team, I had called Richard Melson. Now, many of you know who Richard Melson is. Richard is the minister for the Church of Christ, the Webster Street / Needmore Road Church of Christ. They're working on a name. They've consolidated, and they'll come up with it. But we'll just land with Christians. That'll keep us safe. But Richard is the full-time minister with that congregation. And I called Richard and I said, you know, I'd like for you to come and speak to the team. And Richard has some connections with individuals, athletes, that would gain their attention. His daughter went to college on a scholarship, a Division I school. Norris Cole, who used to play for the Miami Heat and still playing professional basketball in Europe right now. His daddy is an elder in the Lord's church and good friends. And Richard is the minister where Norris grew up. And of course, you start throwing out those names and, you know, the young men are, you know, they had a half antenna when they came to that meeting. All of a sudden, both antennas just show up. You know, they're tuned in. They're locked in. And his message, I remember that day, was on pride. He says, I'm not a proud person. My daughter got a scholarship. She's now an attorney. I'll tell you what I am. I'm a pleased person. I'm so pleased. I'm so pleased. Now, the reason we need to discuss this is because, brethren, you go back in Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 12, when the Apostle Paul is talking about that new man, we take on that new man. Paul goes on in Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 12, talking about that man is one who represents a man of humility. He's humble. There in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 12, with regards to having unity, unity in the church. It requires humility. James in chapter 4 and verses 6 through 10. God, he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Coming to God involves humility. Bottom line is this, folks, God cannot work with a proud person. Did you know that? God cannot work with a proud person because they know it all. They've got it all figured out. God can only work with those people who are humble. He can mold them. He can shape them. And he can fashion them. Don't be a proud person. Don't strut. Don't stoop. Sorry for the little glitch there on the parentheses. Do you see, here's an obstacle for you. Now, some of you are going to get caught up on that, and you're not going to listen to the point that I'm making, are you? Well, there's a typo! You know? Just, I see it. Okay? You see it. Don't stoop down to the level of other people. Matthew chapter 5, this is a powerful message whenever you look at this. When Jesus is teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 about how to be people that represent himself. Jesus is doing this. This is orientation for his disciples. He says, you've heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Friends, I want you to understand something. You know, we use a phrase, again, in our vernacular, you know, where we hate the sin, but we don't hate the sinner. And that's true. We hate the sin. God has never, ever called on his people to be a hater of souls. By the time Jesus is sharing this message with his disciples, as the years rolled on and one interpretation begat another interpretation, it was hate the sin and hate the sinner too. And if you don't see that throughout Jesus' ministry with regards to divisiveness, broken relationships, it existed. And Jesus says, you have heard that it was said. He says, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But he says, I say this unto you. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for you. Who spitefully use you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. God is not partial in his love, folks. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, you can stoop down to the level of the world, because this is the way the world loves. They love those who only love them back. They do good to those who only do good unto them. Now, that's our world. And Jesus is saying, don't you stoop down to their level. You're different. You're different from the world. Who did we learn that from? Let me ask you that. Who did we learn that from to be so different from the world? Jesus. Jesus is saying, be like me. I think he's only been the most popular man on the face of the earth for about 2,000 years. So we should follow his lead. Finally, don't stop. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Don't stop. Don't stop. Brother, many have started out great. Great intentions, a great start. Started running this Christian race so well. With the best intent. My prayer is you've continued to do that, but not all have. Not all have. Perhaps you remember the time, the one and only time, and that's in my bucket list, I'll never do it again. Ran that 26.2 mile marathon. Never do it again. I couldn't walk for 4 days after that. It hurt to blink. But I remember within a mile of finishing that race, there was a gentleman off to my left. As I could see the finish line, I could hear audibly the roar of the crowd as the runners would cross the finish line. And here was a man, out of breath, finished. Went off to the side, knelt down, and said, I'm done. I'm standing up on the hill, and I'm looking at the finish line. How can you go that far and see the finish line and say, I'm done? Now, folks, we have people all the time in the Lord's church that are doing that. So close to finishing. God is anticipating and looks forward to giving them their reward. But something has distracted them. And I'm sure the gentleman that I saw crumbled up on the side of the street was in pain. He was hurting, like I was hurting. But he surrendered to that hardship. He says, I'm not running this race anymore. Do you get my point? A lot of people are that way. It's too tough, too hard, too difficult. God demands too much from me. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you understand what God did for you? Don't ever tell me God demands too much from you. Let me ask you, what one and only child have you given up to sacrifice for the world's wickedness? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Friend, I want to encourage you. Let's avoid Satan's snares. Don't stray. Don't stray. Be committed to this life of Christianity. Take this word, the inspired word of God. Read it and live it. Don't strut. God can't work with a proud person. Never has, never will. Don't stoop down to the level of others. You're different than they are. And don't stop. Don't stop. The race isn't over with yet until we cross that finish line. I want to encourage you today, friend, if you've not obeyed the gospel, that you do so before it's eternally too late.